Blog Talk Radio. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, good evening to you. This is Garfield Reed broadcasting live on It's Real Talk Radio. It's Real Talk Live, Blog Talk. If you want to call in and you want to listen in, the number to call is 347-826-9457. That's 347-826-9457. Let me introduce everybody to my brother from 8 Mile in Detroit, Michigan, my main man, Musa Muhammad. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, man. I can't complain.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good, my brother. That's good.
Oh, thank you very much. How you doing?
I hear that. I'm doing real good, man. I'm doing real good. I see a caller is on the line. I don't know if the caller want to come in. I'm going to click you in, caller. If not, I'll just mute you back if you just call to listen.
Okay.
Caller, you're live. Caller, you're live. If you want to listen, I'll just mute you back. All right? All right. So the caller had to mute that caller back. Yeah, so today we have a very big show, and we have a lot of topics. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of messages. Everybody asking if that's the Musa from Facebook and all that stuff. And, you know, let's get it on, man. Let's get it on and see how it goes today. I got my man Ivan. Ivory's going to call in later. And Victor also and Miranda. We're going to get all these things done today. I just want to give a quick shout-out to my man from the Knicks, Raymond Felton. You know, he was arrested, and I spoke about it yesterday. He was arrested for on a gun charge. And gun charges, a lot of people in New York know this. Gun charges are very serious. And his story is not as tough as Plaxico Burress from the New York Giants. But, you know, he could always deny it's not his gun. You know, his wife, him and his wife going through some problems. And apparently her lawyer turned the gun in and said it was his. I don't know if they were being vindictive. But I'm saying if this man, if you're trying to divorce this man and this man plays basketball for a living, why would you want him to end up in jail? I don't see the logics in that. What about you, Musa? Do you see the logics of her turning in that gun and getting in trouble? Because apparently she's alleging that he waved the gun at her. And the type of gun that I hear it is like if you're going to be in some sort of war. I don't know why Raymond Felton needs that type of gun if it's his gun. But I don't see the logics of him even having that gun. But besides all of that, I'm not even going to knock him for that. That's his business. But why would you, the brother signed a contract for $10 million for 3 years. He's not the best player in the world. He got a nice little contract. So now you're going to divorce this dude. So instead of him making money, you want him to go behind bars? I mean, if the brother had threatened you and you felt like your life was in danger, I would have moved. I would have got away from that area. I got away from out. I'd have been out of the city, you know, and go live with my moms or get out of his path or whatever. Because if he threatened you, not because you have an order of protection, that doesn't protect you. That just says that he can't contact you. So if he's really trying to hurt you, he still has all free will to do it. But the order of protection is just something on record that said, hey, I have an order of protection against you. But it doesn't protect you, per se. A lot of people misunderstand what an order of protection is. An order of protection is something set up by the court saying that you cannot contact by text or phone or anything. You cannot contact this woman. Now, if he's not going to contact her, if he wants to hurt her, Musa, he could just go there or get somebody else to do it. I'm not suggesting that, but I mean, come on. Why are you trying to get this dude locked up because you guys are arguing or separating? Come on, man. I hate that stuff. You know, but in her defense, I would like to say that she reporting it, I don't agree with the whole gun thingy. You know, I guess it's a safety issue. I agree with her getting the order of protection against the brother if she feels it's unsafe. But to try to let him go to jail now over this is to me very vindictive of the woman, you know, very vindictive. But again, I have to also play devil's advocate. Maybe she feels unsafe. Maybe, you know, she took the lawyer's advice and did that. All right?
That's kind of something similar to the Mike Tyson case. You remember the Mike Tyson situation with Robert Gibbons?
Yeah.
Remember what she did to Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
I know you remember that. And because of that situation, you know, now I don't know if he put his hands on her or whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there, you know, and however. But at the same time, you know, it would have seemed like she was just trying to get him for money. That's just my opinion.
With Mike Tyson, it was the dumbest case. I don't know how this brother got locked up. I don't know how you could give a woman oral sex and rape her. I do not get that. That is the stupidest case I ever. I don't know how the brother got arrested. I don't know how he went through the case and how they convicted him. How do you give a woman oral sex and rape her? Do you hold her down? Oh, let me get this. I mean, come on. This is silly. This is silly, man. How do you rape a woman and give them oral sex? That is I've never heard that in the history. I've never heard that in my lifetime. You know, and it's sad. It's really, really sad. Mike Tyson, I love you, man. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't know how he was found guilty. You know, you know, but it's crazy. How can you give a woman oral sex and rape her? I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe he tied her up. I don't know. But maybe. It don't make no sense to me. I don't know.
It don't make no sense.
Mike Tyson was just unfortunate. Sometimes when you're popular and an athlete, man, you got to be careful, man. That's why I suggest when people get married, this is why they marry people who they're around. And we said that why brothers marry folks who are not black is because the folks who are around them are not black. So they rather feel comfortable with somebody who is in that world than to go pick up some sister who would put all this drama on them. You know, it's either they marry somebody from high school who knew them from high school, or they marry somebody outside of their own race or kind or whatever. It's always going to be that way. Because you can't, whenever you have money, folks will come around you because of that money. So you don't really know who to trust. You know, so I remember when Carmelo Anthony was in Denver, he had gotten arrested, I think, and he used to wear the braids, and everybody had this image about him, but he was never really a bad dude. He was never a bad dude, but it's just that the people around him would get impressed with him, so he had to let those folks go, you know, and that's how, you know, so sometimes, you know, people all the time do things, and then they end up, doing all these crazy things, and because of friends and people who they hang around, you know, you're getting all this trouble. So you got to be careful of who you're around. They say you could tell a person by their friends. So, hey, you are who you hang around with, you know. But let me move on, man. Let me talk about this before I even talk about any marijuana issue or anything. The N-word, should it be allowed in pop culture? The N-word is in the news media because of sports. Apparently, the National Football League wants to award a team 15 yards penalty if any of the players on any particular team uses the N-word on the field. Did you hear about this, Musa? Hey, Musa?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Did you hear about that situation where the N-word, if you use the N-word while you're on the football field, they give the team a 15-yard penalty for any player that uses the N-word?
No, that I have never heard. That's it.
Yeah,
new one
something
on
new. I heard about it today on the on SportsCenter. They were talking about it, and I don't know how they're gonna. I don't know how they're going to enforce that, because you could say the N-word and you could be a player on another team, and they mistakenly said it's you.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Because that's street vernacular. People use the word N-I-G-G-A in the streets, but they don't mean it in the sense of N-I-G-G-E-R, which is crazy.
Exactly.
I don't want to go into it because I don't feel the word should be commercialized, personally. At the end of the day, though, how are we looked on as a people? who once were not the people nowadays, but way back then, that's what they called us. And for us, we're such innovators, we switched around the word, and now we are saying the N-word, but we mean it in a total way. We mean it in a term of endearment. But I'll ask you this, Musa. If you're at your job, say you work in the office, and you use the N-word when you're talking to your friends or colleagues, would it be appropriate in an office environment?
Well, if it's somebody I really know, and you know, and we cool people. I mean, I'm an occasional user sometimes, you know, and you know, it's just a habit for us. You know, we occasionally use it. We use it a lot in the hood. But in the workplace, it just depends on the person. You know, I know when I used to work at McDonald's, you know, I don't never use the word. I just have regular conversation. But it depends on the person who you know. Because when I use the N-word, you know, it used to be around my friends or somebody I know I'm cool with. You know what I'm saying? Because we understand that street talk, that street language kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not something that I would use at a work field, you know. I mean, I wouldn't go around calling somebody the N-word, you know. I wouldn't do no stuff like that. But, it just basically depends on who you know and how long you've known.
Why do you think we have adopted this word to use in a? It's like you're saying, "What's up, my brother?" That's how the word N-word has turned out to be now. Why would we take such a negative to make it into a positive? I mean,
well,
I know we're innovators, but...
Well, you know, some of that stuff mostly comes from the negativity of hip-hop. It goes to what we talked about. I mean, you know, I used to listen to gangster rap, and that's all we hear, the N-word, you know, and... it was just a street term. Like Tupac, he even explained it better. What he said, that what the N-word stood for and why we use it, you know. And so, therefore, you know, it is the hip-hop culture, you know. And then I found out, being around different race, other people use it. It ain't just black folks. It's other race using that same word.
Let me ask you this. Is it appropriate for everybody in the community to use that word, before you answer me? And hip-hop, it's all over hip-hop. It's all in the language, everything. Now, we get upset if a white person uses it, but what if they're mimicking a hip-hop song or talking in general? Are they talking to their homies? Can they use that type of language? And that would be my...
Well... I used to stay in a Hamtramck in Detroit, where I'm the only black kid there. And, you know, we'd be on the basketball court, and, you know, we talk smash to each other. I mean, you know, I have seen some of the Arabs occasionally use the word. You know, I never took an offense to it. The reason why, because it was not because I'm standing here, it was because this is their everyday thing they do all the time. And, is it inappropriate? That's a difficult question for me, because the simple fact that I'm a Cajun, I use that word sometimes myself. I mean, you know, when I'm with my boys. But it just, like I said, it all depends on the person and who you know. You know, when I'm with an Arab person or with a white person, I don't use that word around them. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard a white person call me the N-word, you know, but I have heard some white folks use the N-word, but it's mainly in the conversation. It's not an attack. It's just a regular occasion word that we use. It's just a messed up habit that we have adopted into our culture. And the bad part about that is there are other cultures uses the same thing. You know, it is a bad habit of that has been traced down, that has been passed down from other races. They mimic us and copy us. You know, so it's a sad situation. But if I'm in the community where I'm at now, I mean, I wouldn't use the word around certain people. I mean, unless I really know the person, and we, you know, have these conversations like, "What's up, dope?" You know, "What's up, cat? What's up, my end?" You know, we know what we're talking about. It ain't no insult kind of thing, you know. So it just really depends on who you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're making a lot of sense. You know, it's crazy. Growing up in Jamaica, I knew nothing of the N-word. I did not know what the N-word meant. I don't know what it mean. I didn't know what it means. When I went to Massachusetts, I went to a school. There were only 8 black children in that school. And I was one of the 8. I was playing soccer. And I was like the star on the team. And the score was 2-0. And this kid kicked me down and fouled me. So I said, "Look at the score, buddy. It's 2-0. And he said, "At least I'm not an N-word." So I said, what is that? So I went over to my teammates, and I told them, and I told the coach. So all of a sudden now, we ended up in a brawl because my teammates, who were all white, decided to fight this all-white team because this dude called me the N-word. When I got home, and the coach was furious, "How dare he call you that?" And I'm like, "What is that?" Now I'm looking back on the incident, and I'm like, now I know what the N-word is. I didn't know back then. But it's obviously a word that we shouldn't be using. If white folks are willing to fight for me, let alone me, this Jamaican that was in their school, in a predominantly white school, that should tell us, period, in the community. You see, the minute we stop using the N-word, we freeing ourselves. We are freeing ourselves. Because look how we have conditioned ourselves now. We have taken a word that is disgusting and evil and switched it around and said, "Oh, no, we going to use it, but it's going to be a term of endearment." I think there are thousands of words we can use as terms of endearment. Why that word? You know, I mean, you know, what's up, my brother? You know, what's up, N-word? You know, but the point of the matter is, how can we use a term that is so divisive? And we get so mad if somebody white uses it because, oh, it's like an unwritten rule. White folks cannot use that term. But we could use it amongst each other.
You know what? I don't think it's a matter of white folks can't use the word because, I mean, there are certain white people that has used it on each other also. You know what I'm saying? This word here that has been used, it's like a terrible habit. And, you know, like I said, I've seen Arabs use it among themselves also. I mean, you know, and depending on how you use the word. I mean, you know, the day that your teammates called you an N-word, that was an insulting word. But if I say, "Man, what am I?" You know what I'm saying? You know, or it just depends on how you use it in a sentence. You know, English, the English language kind of flip flops in certain different ways. There's also a street slang also, which is in the dictionary. because when we use these words, you know, we use it amongst each other. But I was surprised and shocked to see the Arab people use the word amongst each other also.
Oh, okay. Hold on one second, my brother. Hold on one second, my brother. Hold on.
Okay.
Carly, you want to come in or you just want to hold?
No, but he can continue the conversation.
Oh, it's your number. I forgot. That's your number. Oh, yay, yay. All right. But we're talking about the N-word. Do you want to come into this, Marinda, or you just want to hold on for now?
No, I'll listen for now.
You listen for now? All right. You know what? I'm gonna keep your line open, man.
I don't like coming into the middle of a topic, so I'll let him finish.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Are you doing good, David? How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, that's good.
How are all y'all?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
How are all y'all doing?
We're doing good. We're definitely doing good. Doing better now. Now that you're on, we're doing better. And it's always good to have a strong. It's always good to have a strong sister on the phone that could, you know, bend us into shape, you know, and keep us on track. But the N-word, I don't know. I think it's something that we should. I think the usage of the N-word, we should just throw the word out.
That's what the NAACP tried to do. They tried to bury the word. You know, we had Jesse Jackson and all these people who tried to bury the word. You know, but in rap music, it's still being used. The word is still being used. I mean, you know, it's just the change of you have to change the music. You have to change the lyrics. They have to change everything. But we all know within their music, controversy sells. And if it doesn't sell, then guess what? They're not going to use it. You know, there are some people who just like that kind of culture. You know, they're used to that kind of stuff. When you watch the movie Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, this is what it portrays as the hood. This is what you see. You know, and like I said, if I've got a good job, I wouldn't use the N-word. I would never go into it, talk to my boss any kind of way or what up my, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I would never do nothing stuff like that. I mainly do that around my homies or around my boys, you know, that I've known for years. You know, why do I do it?
But my point is, Musa, my point is, why would we use a word that has such a horrible history? I'm playing devil's advocate, and I'm saying, why would we want to use a word that was used to describe us in a negative manner for centuries?
I totally agree.
Why?
Why would we want
to spin around a word that, I mean, at the end of the day, there are folks out there from these racist groups, the KKK and all that stuff, that still call us that. So now, just because they call us that, that means we're going to switch it around now and don't say N-I-G-G-E-R, it's now N-I-G-G-A?
Exactly.
I don't know. It's something to think about. I don't think the word should be used at all. I think we should throw it out of our vocabulary.
I agree.
I think we should throw it out of vocabulary.
And I think all the rappers should ban these words, you know, in their in their lyrics. But you gotta understand, who's going to ban it for real? You know what? Mm. Like I said, she said.
Well. The NFL is making a big move by saying, "Hey, you can't use it in the." I mean, I think in Pittsburgh, you can't use it in the locker room. The N word, the rule is bandit. You can't use that word.
I think the NFL.
What the NFL is doing is more than them trying to penalize a team for 15 yards. They're trying to say, "Hey, this word is a bad word. We shouldn't have children growing up saying this is okay to use this particular word." You know, I think that's where it's coming from. That's where that's all coming from. All right. Let's move on. The next topic we have is is woman, about woman. Basically, this is about whether a woman should be, what's better, going natural or wearing a weave. You know, you have a lot of women out there that wear their hair naturally and, you know, take care of it and nice, you know, looks real nice. And you have other women who put weaves in their hair and all this stuff. And which side are you on? Let me start off with Miranda on this, you know, natural or weaved hair, which way to go?
Natural all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have actually never worn a weave in my life.
Okay.
I will sport a wig every now and then when I'm having a bad hair day, but I am totally opposed to it. I don't understand women, black women, who think that having your hair sewn or glued to something is good for your hair. I mean, I don't get that. So if there are any pro-weave black women out there, or white women, because they wear them too, you know, I just want to hear from them on the reasons why they prefer to damage their hair that way.
Okay. Hold on. Let me welcome Ivory in. Ivory, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, cool. You were echoing a while ago, so that's why I had to take you off the air when I punched you in.
Okay.
But I think, all right, I'm from Jamaica, and a lot of the women that are older, their hair is short like mine. Because their whole life, they've been wearing all these weaves and all this stuff, and their hair is damaged. I'm not an expert. I mean, I've dated a couple of hairdressers in my life. I don't know if that counts, but I'm not an expert on that. But I feel wearing a weave is I don't know. It's to each his own, but, I mean, of course it's damaging to the hair. I think that's obvious. I mean, I love a woman that's natural. You know,
that's obvious to them.
Say that again, Miranda.
Many of them don't think that it's obvious.
Okay. Any woman out there right now who wear weaves and extensions and so forth, give me a call at 347-826-9457. Press the number 1. That's 347-826-9457. So what about folks that braid their hair? Do you have a problem with that?
No.
Okay.
I don't have a problem if they're using extensions and braids, because to me that's a protective style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the long flowing, different colored weaves that look ridiculous, I'm sorry, do, on these black women's heads, you know, and they think they're like some sort of goddess queen or something. And they're looking like a clown, you know, walking around with this long, colored hair on top of their head.
I totally agree with her on that. They do look ridiculous. You know, they look ridiculous with that mess on. They need to take it off.
I mean, especially like the dark, skinny ones, they love to go for this really, really blonde hair, and I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this woman at all. She is not my people. You know, that's how I feel about it. Because it's ridiculous. You're too dark for that.
What about with men with dreadlocks?
I think men with dreadlocks are sexy.
Okay.
As long as they're not too long.
All right, what about bald heads like Michael Jordan?
Some men can pull that off.
Okay.
Not all men can pull that off.
especially if you have a peanut head like me. You can't pull it off at all.
So what if they decide to bring back the Jerry curls? They're already trying to bring back the afro. What about Jerry curls?
At least with the Jerry curl, they were wearing their natural hair then.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't natural, but
hair. Oh, boy. That's crazy. You know, if a woman, of course, everybody have the choice to do what they want to do, you know, and
yeah,
I think natural. I would love to see that more often. But I mean, we live in a world, you know, it's not perfect. So let's just work with what we have now and encourage folks.
What are you saying? Our hair is perfect.
Oh, okay. All right, let me, I'm going to take a 1 minute break here, and I'll be right back. All right, guys, let's take a 1 minute break.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. And wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do is be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Ironic cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Yeah, welcome back. It's Real Talk Live. And ladies and gentlemen, we have on the air with us right now Ms. Miranda Wales from Alabama. We have my man Ivory, who's in Virginia. And we have Musa Muhammad, who's in Detroit. Ivory, let me ask you a quick question. You weren't on for when we were discussing the N-word, but, I mean, what do you feel about the usage of the N-word? We have the the NFL right now saying, hey, we shouldn't be using the they're gonna start throwing penalty flags for folks who use the N-word while they're on the field. I don't know how they're gonna enforce that, but what do you think about the usage of the N-word?
Who used it on the field?
No, like the players, the players, when the players use it.
Like, in which way do they use it?
No, like they're talking to each other. Like, yo, end this, end that. You know?
Black people, most black people, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is another delicate conversation because black people have made a fool of themselves so much, I don't know where to begin. You know, black people are the laughing stock of this nation, of this world. People laugh at you because you call each other the N-word. And where did this ever come? I mean, I really can't put my mind, I don't put my mind on it. I'm going to tell you an incident that happened one time. A former friend of mine had walked into a store to buy some clothes, and the music was playing, and it was rap music, and it was an Asian guy in there playing this rap music. And the rap music saying nigga, you know, the N-word, whatever. And it was playing. So my friend went to the desk and he said, excuse me, sir, why are you playing this music? And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, could you go give me some music with your people singing, degrading each other or degrading your women? Could you go get one of your music and play it? He's like, that offends me. So I think that the N-word, if you have any sense, if you have any type of pride about yourself, or if your ancestor dying means anything to you, you wouldn't use it. But again, today's society, everybody's ignorant, everybody's little monkeys running around, no common sense whatsoever. So what do you expect? That's what they're going to do. But me personally, I think they should enforce that. I think they should try to enforce it at least on the field. And little do you know it, they're trying to help the darn black people out. They tell the black people don't use it to each other. And whatever whatever seems right and whatever seems like they're going to help a black person, you better believe black people going to reject it, because they reject anything that's trying to help them. You know, so it's
That's a strong general statement. Yeah. I think it puts a spotlight. I think the NFL is kind of hypocritical, though, because remember, they have a team by the name of Washington Redskins. And you know there's a big issue now that the Native Americans are saying that they need to change that name because it's offensive. It's like if you find, would you find two Native Americans on the job saying, hey, Redskin, it's an offensive term. And they're trying to change it. So now all of a sudden the NFL comes out with this, oh, we're going to stop you from using the N-word. I think the Redskins' name needs to be changed. It needs to be changed.
Okay, then it does.
You know, and that's something that it showed like a hypocrisy with the NFL, because you're saying about the N-word, but what about the Redskins? Let's change the name. It's an offensive
change
name.
I agree. So, change it.
Yeah.
Change it.
All right.
Don't be hypocritical. If you're going to do one way, do it all the way. Don't do half. Go all the way.
All the way.
All right. I have a call on hold. I don't know if she wants to answer this question, but we had a question earlier about wearing your hair naturally or wearing a weave. Which is the way to go? I'm going to click you in. If you want to respond, just say yes. If not, I'll put you back on hold. Hey, sister, how you doing? All right, I guess she wants to stay on hold. I'll keep her on hold then. All right. Let's move on to the next topic, which is going to, before we go to the next topic, I have to play this song because it leads into what we're going to talk about. All right? The topic we're going to talk about is cheating spouse. How would you handle it? Or a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. How would you handle it? You know? And it's a powerful question, man. Get ready. Buckle up your seatbelts.
Story of my life, searching for the right, but it keeps avoiding me. Sorrow in my soul, 'cause it seems that wrong really loves my company. He's more than a man, and this is more than love, the reason that the sky is blue. The clouds are rolling in, because I'm gone again, and to him I just can't be true. And I know that he knows I'm unfaithful, and it kills him.
Yeah, that was Unfaithful by Miss Rihanna herself, Miss 90 million followers on Facebook. What do you guys think? How would you handle, if you are married, how do you handle being cheated on? How do you handle, you have a cheating spouse, how would you handle it? Would you leave the person? Would you want the person to come back? What do you want to do? Go ahead, Miranda.
I would look at it like this. If
hold on,
you know,
let Miranda go first. Hold on,
oh,
let
oh,
Miranda
oh.
go first.
Oh, don't know. It just depends. I mean, I don't, each situation is different. It could just have been a one-time thing. But if he's a serial cheater, then no, he's out. He's gone.
All right, Miranda, let's keep it real for a second here. Because this is Real Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, in your lifetime, has a man ever cheated on you in your lifetime?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you break up with him immediately, or did you try to work it out? Is it several people or just one person, by the way?
He was pretty much dumped immediately.
Okay. So you're saying right now, you and Garfield is dating. Garfield moved to Alabama, and you and Garfield decide to live together, hypothetically speaking. And you find out, however you find out, that Garfield was cheating on you, right? Would you break up? Who is it? Ivory, is that your car?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man. So indisciplined. But if you found out, Miranda, you see the type of dude he is, Miranda, this is why I'm not trying to let him come to Alabama with you. You know what I'm saying? He don't deserve you. So anyway, if you found out that Garfield was cheating on you, right, and you confronted me at home and I denied it, then you put the proof forward and I kept denying it, and you knew that I cheated. I knew that I cheated. What's your step? How do we reconcile this right now?
Okay, I know this is a hypothetical, but there's no way even in a hypothetical situation that I would shack up with any man. I don't believe in that. So that would be number one. I would never shack up with any man.
Shack up?
Yes, I don't shack up.
Oh, okay. I got you. I respect that. All right. So you wouldn't shack up with any man. And, all right. So now, if you don't shack up, you're basically saying now that, all right, say you're dating a guy, and hypothetically he's cheating on you, hypothetically. How would you go about it? Or if you were married to the guy, that'll break up the whole hypothetical, your whole problems with it. You're married to the guy, you found out he's cheating, how do you handle that situation?
Well, that's a major betrayal of the marriage vows. Honestly, I would not know what I would do, because I would... I don't know if... I could not be around him. That's one. I would have to just get away from him, because I wouldn't want to be around him after that.
Okay.
I wouldn't need some space.
Right. But if you were to reconcile, what would he have to do to reconcile with you? What would be the process? What would the process be like?
He would have to prove it through his actions and not through his words.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the trust issue will be broken. And despite women forgiving a man for doing that, they will always be suspicious after that.
Mm.
Of the least little thing that he does.
So basically, he'd be committing adultery. All right. So
yes.
If he commits adultery, basically you're willing to give him a chance if he comes back with some sort of affection over a period of time, protracted period of time, right? It wouldn't be anything right away. He would have to prove and gain your trust again, right?
threat.
Okay.
But it's not affection. It's his action.
Okay.
Is he going to break it? Is he going to break it off with this person? Or person? Or is he going to continue to try and sneak around while trying to save him?
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Wow.
That's why I said depends on the situation.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I think you hit everything on the spot right there. Now, Ivory, if your girlfriend cheated on you, right, and you found out, what would you do? What would you do, sir?
I don't know. It has to happen to me. Every situation is different. Who knows what, you know, from here on out, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But you never know what the situation is, so I'm not too quick to speak on that. Mm. You know, you never know. I can't judge anybody. I know it's wrong, but you never know what drives a person to do what they do. So I would have to wait for that situation to happen.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that was my point exactly, too.
That's a good point. Very good point, both of you guys. Very good point.
Thank you. Thank you, Musa.
You're welcome.
Now, Musa, if you cheated on your wife, right?
Right.
Why should she take you back?
Well, for one, I have never cheated on her, so I can't really relate to that. So.
No, Musa, why are you saying that? We already know you never cheated on your wife. We don't need you to validate that. We already know that. We know you never, ever cheated on your wife. We already know that, my brother.
Okay. So you're asking, what would I do to gain her trust? Well, it's just like what she said, actions. Actions will have to speak louder than words. Can you
go ahead, man. I just muted that crazy guy, Ivory. You know, he's talking while you're on the air and all that craziness. You know,
I agree with both of them. It depends on the situation, and me personally, it would be based on my actions, not based on my words, because my action is going to have to speak that. You know, and I know it's going to take a lot for my wife to trust me. You know,
really
it would take a lot.
You, man.
Okay. Well,
so it would have to take a lot. You know, it would have to. It has to be my actions that will have to do that, you know. Now I have to mean it. You know.
If your wife cheated on you, how would you reconcile that, though? Would you leave her? You know, she broke the vows, and would you leave her, or would you try to work it out? I mean, the worst-case scenario, you found out your wife was cheating on you for, like, 8 months straight. She confessed. What type of, and I'm not saying she is, I'm just saying hypothetically, how would we, give us some advice so we as men know how we would deal with certain types of situation if that even came up?
Well, I can't give you that answer because that has never happened. You know, that would be difficult for me to answer. I mean, I've never been put in that situation before, so I can't give you that answer to that question.
Right. All right, let me bring my buddy in, man.
She's a good girl.
She's a good, definitely. I know that. I could tell. But she answers all the questions for you. Let me bring my boy in, man, my superstar. Victor, what's up, man?
Now, what's up, man? What's up, man? Love the radio show, man. I hope it gets bigger and better, man, because I love everything on the show right now, man. All the topics we discuss right now are real, man. It's a very real show, man.
Let me ask you this. You're a brother that used to run the streets, and I'm not trying to put you out there, but you said it last night. But let me ask you this. If you're a woman who you have devoted, you have left the streets, committed to say, hey, I'm going to be a good brother, I'm going to walk a straight path. If you found out that woman cheated on you, how would you leave her? Would you try to reconcile? How would you go about it?
Man, that's kind of really hard, man. You know, it's really hard to kind of really answer that question, man. Like, you know, without being seeming like, you know, I guess you could say sexist or even biased, man. Because like, for a man, it's different for a man versus a woman. You know, I've seen women put up with men, you know, for years, you know, with cheating, you know, whatnot, man, cheating different women and whatnot. And for, you know, I've even talked to a friend of mine who, you know, I'm not gonna put him out there, but just to say he does a lot of cheating, right? But he said himself that if his girl did half the things he did, that he'd leave her without question. Mm. So I think it's a certain kind of sexual biasness that goes into that. You know, for me personally, you know, it's like I'm a very loyal person. You know, when I get into something, I stay loyal. You know, so like if somebody violates that loyalty with me like that, it really can't be anything more than that. You know, I have to leave it alone, man, because I know me personally, I get emotionally involved in that right there. You know, somebody will wind up getting hurt or something like that, maybe possibly even killed, you know, so I wouldn't even want to go that route. So I would just leave that alone, you know, and just leave them alone, you know what I mean? I'm not
saying everybody else. Let me ask you this, because as a man, whenever we get cheated on, it's a different response more than what. It's like we're like, it's like a taboo for a man. You cheated on me? It's like a major taboo, but we willing to go out there and do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? If the woman cheats,
right,
we're flipping, ready to go beat the dude up, ready to go stab, do whatever, go hire my man Raymond Felton, go borrow his guns, and allegedly, and go do something. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if we do it as men, we like, oh, we boys. That's my N-word. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
At the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, it's like we have protracted this whole stereotype about men having like a bunch of women, you know, Rico Suave, Big Daddy Kane types, you know what I'm saying? Dark skin, dark Gable, Wesley Snipes type, trying to do, you know, having all these ladies and all that stuff. So it's cool, but if it happens to us, we can't handle it. And I think as far as reconciliation, I mean, I'm an expert on that. I could reconcile any. And I tell you guys, I used to reconcile crackheads, ex-crackheads. So at the end of the day, if I could get ex-crackheads together, I could get anybody back together. But the bottom line is, though, as men, I think we need to actually look at ourselves and say to ourselves, are we really in this relationship to be with the woman? Are we just trying to just buy time for somebody else or something else? You know, what are we doing? You know, so at the end of the day, we have to figure this out wholeheartedly, because if the woman cheats, we got to look at ourselves and ask ourselves why. Why did this woman cheat? And it goes for the woman too. You got to ask yourself, why did this man cheat? You didn't tell him to go out there and do it, but at the end of the day, in relationships, you got to be focused, man. A relationship is it's like a third job. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a third job. You have to do these things. Men, we're the worst at dates. We're the worst. We're worse at birthdays. We're worse at remembering special dates. The first day was in this month. Anniversaries, we are the worst. This is why Valentine's Day, I send out that big text on Facebook that why don't men just use the 14th as a marker for every month to do something special for your woman or your wife? Because when you mark that date, that will help us. Because we're not good with dates. We're lousy, very lousy. Mm. Not on purpose. It's just that we're more nonchalant when it comes to dates than women. For a woman, it's sexy, and it's a turn-on to remember, our first date was such and such a date, and then the second date was this. They like that stuff. They're into that. So if a man remembers that, he's satisfying her emotionally by remembering those dates. It's important to a woman, you know? Oh, it's 8 months, babes. It's 8 months since our first date. That's cute. They like that. So those are the things that we got to think about when we're in a relationship, that we got to take it on like a third job. It's our extra job that we thought we didn't have a job, and we end up with an extra job. Now we have a third job, and it's called a relationship. That's how we got to treat it. If we don't treat it like a relationship, like a job, we're gonna lose as men. We are going to lose, you know, and as I tell folks, man, if somebody cheats on you, is it worth You got to look at it this way. Is it worth saving? Is the relationship worth saving? Did the man go out there and get a woman pregnant? Did the woman go out there and get pregnant for another dude? You know, you got to think about, is it worth saving? Do you have children together? You know, how long have you invested in this relationship? You know, so those are the factors that you got to look into. Not if the bedroom is good. Not if, you know, he buys you nice stuff. It's about longevity, and is it worth it to stay in this? You know, because if you stay in a relationship too long and it's not working out, that's abuse, man. You're abusing yourself because you're just living a lie, you know?
Excuse me.
Miranda, did you want to come in? Go ahead, Musa.
I got my man G on the phone.
But Musa, go first, and then Miranda. I got G Money just came in, and I got let Miranda go first.
No, I'm getting ready
to go.
Miranda.
Oh, you getting ready to
go?
No,
let him go.
All right, man. Go ahead, Musa.
Oh, I was just going to say you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it's based on trust. Relationships should be based on trust. And, you know, that's just how it should be. I mean, you know, whatever God puts together, you should let no man break that from you. You know, no one break that from you. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't cheat on your wife. You shouldn't cheat on your husband. It's just plain and simple. And, you know, people make mistakes all the time. But I just think that we, you know, people just, you know, it just needs to be taken care of. It just needs to be taken care of.
And hey, Musa, is your wife looking at you while you're talking?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. Because I heard you fumbling, my brother.
Oh, no, I'm telling my son good night.
Okay, I got you. But my brother Musa got to go. You know, he told me he was going to leave in an hour. But whenever you're ready, you cut yourself off, Musa. Yeah, man. Peace and love, my brother.
All right, peace out, everyone.
Yeah, peace,
brother.
Peace. So, Miranda, what's your response? What's your response? Because I know you're eager to say something.
To what?
No, what I had said earlier, I just...
I just wanted to say there is one situation where I would not take him back never, ever, ever again. And that is if I found out he cheated with a man. Okay, there's no forgiveness for that.
Jesus
no forgiveness
Christ.
For that.
God forbid that ever happened. God forbid. This is a crazy world we live in. God.
You never know these days. But there's no coming back from that.
Jesus. Oh my God. I hear that, man. I hear that. You know. Oh my God. That's a killer right there. That got me rolling. My man Ivory got cut off. I don't know what happened to his phone, but he was making too much noise, so I muted his phone because he was coming out the car, going in, and not thinking about we're on the live on the radio. So I had to cut him off. At least he cut himself off anyway. But another topic I wanna jump in. Anybody wanna add anything else about relationships, as far as you know the cheating part?
Well,
how to handle it?
I can say this, man. You know, how people handle situations is based on the individual, you know, and your level of tolerance. You know how you choose to tolerate certain things. But for me personally, man, I don't know. I'm kind of new with this marriage thing for me personally, right? I've been married for 3 years, so like it's kind of like, you know, for me, like my wife, it's kind of like a growing situation, you know, as far as that's concerned, but. I don't think that would ever be an issue with either one of us. We just are how we are, you know, and to keep our relationship, you know, kind of like balanced, the center, you know, we like to humor each other. You know, we take turns pranking each other and doing stuff. I've been pranked probably more by my wife than I have by anybody else in my life. You know, we do a lot of fun, you know, like, you know, just little stuff, you know, and there's stuff that I could probably improve on, but, you know, I'm growing, you know, I'm trying to learn this thing as we go, you know, basically, because I'm new to the game on this, man. But the cheating thing for me, you know, anybody listening in, you know, it's something that, you know, men should learn how to control themselves, women too. You know, it's nothing that we should ever have to come up and, you know, have a discrepancy on is cheating. That's one thing. Infidelity is something that we should never have to worry about. You know,
Let me cut you off real quick and ask you this. What type of pranks do you do on your wife, if you don't mind sharing it with us?
Oh, man, I don't know where they stop at. You know, I don't even know where the rules are at with me and my wife, man. My wife will hack into my Facebook. Well, this is just an example. She will get my Facebook page. Like, say if I log off on my Facebook page, right, and she'll go on my Facebook page and put something like, you know, my wife or Brittany, she'll say Brittany, her name is Brittany, right? She'll say Brittany is God, you know, or something like that. She's the great God of the universe or something like that, you know. It's a never-ending cycle with us, man. We do all kind of crazy stuff.
I like that.
She'll take pictures of me in odd moments and stuff like that, you know, whether it be whatever I'm doing, man, you know, it'll be odd moments, and she'll catch a picture. And whether, you know, she don't post them on Facebook if I say something about it, you know, if I'm like, you know, anything like that. But, you know, she's like, I'm going to post this picture on your public timeline.
Yeah,
we do a lot.
That's cute.
We do a lot of crazy stuff in this household. A lot of.
I like that. Because I was actually thinking to add like some prank stuff to the show where we would call different places. That's a thought. I thought about it.
I think that's a good idea.
We're able to do it, but you know, I gotta think about it first. You know, see what type of script I'm gonna do. And you know, if I'm going to call, like, a Chinese store and order, like, you know, like, some Jamaican food.
Wow.
You know, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Or call
a
Jamaican restaurant. Or call a kosher restaurant in Brooklyn and order pork. You know.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Just something I thought about. I'm calling. I was just trying to get back Ivory on, but I guess his phone probably died. You know, but is there anything anybody want to talk about off the top of their head that they have an issue about with any previous shows that we had? Anything you want to talk about? We were talking about the N-word earlier. Should we use the N-word? You know, should we have it as should it be in pop culture? Personally, you know, everybody probably has used the N-word sometime in their life, probably once, twice, you know, many times.
At least.
But I personally... it's tough because it's a negative word, but yet still we black folks amongst themselves use it in a manner of endearment, like, you know, what's up, my brother? And
yeah.
It has a history, but I don't know. It's kind of confusing. It's a term of endearment, I could say that, but it doesn't mean the same as when white folks use it 300, 200, 100 years, 50 years, 10 years ago. You know? So it's kind of tough.
No,
go ahead, Miranda.
The N-word, I don't like that word at all. I don't use it, except when I'm, like, having discussions like this. I hate the word. I don't like to be around people that use it. I don't understand why black people are even using that term. I mean, the word nigger started by people who did not like us. So why are we taking something that they use as a negative and try and change it into something positive? That doesn't make any sense to me. And it takes me back to when the first film started. If you go back and look at some of those old films that started, you will see in those films that the black people in those movies would always refer to themselves as niggers. You know, white people would call them that, and they would call themselves that. You know, yeah, this old nigger, yeah, he'll be a doing that for your master, you know, stuff. And like I said, it goes back to the minstrel shows. Black people are doing it all over again. Now, they're still using that term to refer to themselves. They just put an A behind it, as if that really makes a difference. It doesn't. It's the same term. So, I don't know. Why
Hello?
Do we take... things that are negative and try to turn them into something positive? That is the question for me.
Right, right.
That's because I'm going to be a nigga for life. And we could sugarcoat it and say we don't want to be this, that, and third. But when you look at the color of my skin, that's going to tell me I'm black and I'm black for life. And that's it. And that's what I'm going to be. So what I'm going to try to run away. But I'm going to try to run away from what I am. You know what I'm saying? So what? They typecast me to be that. I don't care. That don't make no difference to me. You know what I'm saying? They run around trying to be like me now. They getting their suntan. They doing all of this stuff trying to get a complexion like me. You know what I'm saying? They trying to be what they trying to put down. At the end of the day, you don't think so? Why are they trying to get darker?
No, they're not trying to be black when they're getting a tan. That's
what are they trying to be? They trying to be like me. They trying to be like me.
That's the myth that black people tell themselves.
No, they trying to be like me. Mama, you ever been to the Caribbean and see them white people in the sun until they burn crisp, trying to be dark like me?
When they get in the sun, including white people.
No. Everybody tan. Yes, I give you that. But do you see them sitting in the sun trying to be dark like me? But the same thing they trying to put down is the same thing they trying to be like.
I see them going to the beach, laying down and enjoying themselves.
No,
I don't see them going.
You're blinded by that.
Black person. No.
I see you. Do you go actually go on vacation and see these things? Do you? If you see in the news the other day, this lady was trying to be so black that they had to ban her from the standing salon. Understand?
She was not trying to be black.
What was she trying to
she
do?
Just
because the thing
tan.
Is, she wanted a tan. She wanted to be like me. She wanted to be black like me that she would never get. You know,
really?
they want to be dark, but they don't want to live the lifestyle that we live or be in the position that we be. But they want to appear and be dark like we are. But it ain't gonna happen.
I think you are living in La La Land if you think that they want to be black.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
No, they don't. They do not.
Listen, most of them want to be black, but want to live a white lifestyle. Trust me. They want to be black. Well, black is beautiful, Mama. Everything about black is powerful. Everything. If you mix black with anything, it will never be that thing again. It will always be black.
You're
nice. I agree. I concur.
Black is powerful, Mama.
They're not trying to be black.
Everything black is powerful, and that's what we got to tell each other. So what? You know, they could call us nigger or whatever. That's why they don't want us to do certain things. That's why they try to put us down. Why not embrace it? So what? That shit don't mean nothing to me no more. Whatever word you're using, that shit is irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? You look at the Supreme Court, black robe, black powerful, Black Friday, black man. You know what I'm saying? If you're in, it's a whole lot of black things you got to embrace, man. We are powerful. We're beautiful human beings. So
all
what?
Right, so, G, let me ask you this. Hold on there. G, let me ask you this. So you think the usage of the word nigger is not a big deal? You think we should forget about it?
Listen.
You don't think it's a big deal?
Let me tell you something. And this day and this age, if a white man called me a nigga, I'd probably punch him in his face. Understand?
Why?
Because he ain't got no business calling me a nigga no
but,
more.
He's trying to be black, according to you.
Here's the thing about that. He's not trying to be black. He's trying to denigrate me by saying that. Right? Now, if I call my brother G, I say, brother G, yo, my nigga, what up? What's popping? Yo, that's what I'm talking about. I'm embracing my brother. I'm not putting my brother down.
You're a walking contradiction.
Walking contradiction? I'm a walking...
Yeah.
So you think I'm going to go out there and say, what's up, Spick? How you doing, Spick? I'm going to say that to a white man.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that. That's disrespectful. That's you denigrating somebody.
No. You just said you were going to use the term anyway. So he's using it with you.
No, you can't. You can't. Just like I won't call him Spick, you can't call me a nigga. But I could call my brother that if I want to. That's my choice.
But that makes no sense whatsoever.
But
I don't need to. I don't mean. What's your nationality?
I'm American.
You're American, black American, white American?
Yes, I am a black American.
Okay. So you really don't understand. I don't think you understand the plight of black people as far as
really?
Us being. Yeah, I don't think you do. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you understand where we come from, our roots. We are African people. We are black, whatever. So why'd somebody call you a nigger? Yeah, we're bigger than that. We done rise over many occasions than that. One little word, it don't mean nothing. Look how long we've been in slavery. You think one word is going to hold us in bondage?
Again, you just contradicted yourself. One little word don't mean nothing. But that white man better not call me a nigger.
He better not.
You're contradicting yourself.
It's not a contradiction. He just better not do it. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't look good for him anyway in the first place. Because of the way he's using it, he's not using it to uplift me or to mean in a word of endearment. He's using it to try to put you down. Understand? And that's most of the time when they use it like that.
No.
That's what they're doing. No?
No.
Name one white person who have called somebody a nigger and it was in a term of endearment.
That word
Nobody.
Is not a term of endearment.
It is to me and my brothers. What y'all want to do is y'all want to wrap up history and hide it and hide behind the word. Listen, man, I'm going to use the word every day to let white people know that this is what y'all used to refer to us as. I don't have to live the lifestyle that y'all think I'm a nigga and I'm going to come on, I'm going to shoot him up, bang, bang, bang. No, and I'm talking like this. Ma, and if you don't believe me, I'm on the other end of this phone. I have been with the white folks. I have been in the elites. I sit in the classroom with them. I know exactly what they be doing, how they be looking at us. I've been on the train. They clutch their purses and all kind of stuff. This is deep-rooted. This is way beyond this one word. Understand?
Oh, yeah. They get to make sure they lock their doors, everything like that.
This is way beyond this one
around.
Word. So, when I see
a bunch of black men, I do the same thing.
Well, you just fit right into that because you're in fear of yourself, just like the rest of them. But all black men is not out to do all this stuff to you.
I don't know them.
But they're not.
Crazy.
They're not out to rape you. They're not out to kill you. Not all black men you see is out selling drugs. In fact, we are rich. We are famous. We are billionaires. We are scholars. We are players. We are everything. You understand?
It's called protecting yourself. You don't know these people. They're strangers walking. I don't know if they're good guys or bad guys.
Well, so if you saw a bunch of white guys, would you respond the same way?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yes, and I have.
You know,
I don't like to see a bunch of white guys together.
And also, you know, I must point out, yes, you are a female. So, again, you know, I could subscribe to what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? But try to be a black male in New York City, in Detroit, the streets of Detroit, the streets of Akron, Ohio, which of all these places I've been to and I've been around black folks. And trust me, it ain't nice. It's not nice at all. Understand? Especially being a black man.
But
so,
why do they do that?
Why do it? This is coming from before me and you ever exist, Mom. This deep-rooted, this hatred for black people is coming from way, I have no idea from where, before me and you even existed.
So
you know,
you're saying it has nothing to do with the high crime rate of the black community at all?
It's called economics. It's economics. It's economics, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Economics. Everything all boils down to economics. No matter how you put it, it's all economics.
Well, you know what? I grew up poor. I didn't go out robbing people because
I was poor. And some of us didn't. I grew up poor, too, and I didn't go out robbing people. But you know what? I was hustling on the streets, trying to make ends meet. It's all economics. And where I come from, the per capita dollars for students is way different from in the white community. So, therefore, our education level is not even close to in comparison to them.
That's true.
You know, it's all economics, Mama. I was born and raised in Jamaica, and right now my sister, who is a nursing student, can't even find a damn job, and she what? She's in her 20s. So guess what? When you graduate school and there's no jobs, there's no future for you. It's all economics. It's all economics, Mama.
No, it's not all economics. Sometimes it's attitude.
It's economics. It's economics. Given the same opportunity, and I'm telling you, I've been in the classroom with the white elite. Given the same opportunity, you will always shine because you know what? You're going to work twice as hard as they do. Trust me. It's economics.
You'd have.
Just to get where you're trying to go. And then when you get where you go, you still got to fight. You got to work twice as hard on the job than your counterpart, your white counterparts. This is still all economic. If I don't have to work, I don't have to work. I tell a white man, go to hell with his job. But, you know, I got to suck up some of the stuff that he does, whatever, whatever. And even sometimes some people get called niggas on the job because the white man want to do that because he don't have nothing better to do. Understand? So, you know, some of the times you got to suck up these things. And I'm saying to you this is all economics. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about, all this nigga stuff, this is all economics.
I hear a bunch of excuses. That's all I'm hearing is excuses.
I don't provide any excuses. I got my master's degrees. I graduate college. I've been places. I work in corporate America. I'm not giving you any excuses. I'm just telling
you what I see.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you what I see around me. You know, if you walk down the streets of New York and you pull 10 brothers, one of them may have graduated high school. It's all economics. They too busy trying to find food to put on the table than to be worrying about other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are blind to that fact. You know, crack and coke in the 80s done rip a hole in New York. We are messed up. Understand?
Because of our bad choices.
Because who let all the drugs in the country? Who is selling guns? Who's manufacturing
that
guns?
Is
who's
irrelevant.
Doing all
the It is
it's
irrelevant, and here's why. Nobody put a gun to that crackhead's head and forced him to do crack.
So you're running with Bush. Pull yourself up from the bootstrap. I got that. I got the point.
Right.
I get the point. But you know what? How can you pull yourself up from the bootstrap if you have not given any type of opportunity or means to try to pull yourself up? It's crazy. I know. What opportunity? You're not given the right schools, the right teachers, the right classroom settings, right? There's no jobs. There's stupid minimum wage out here. We should have a living wage, not a minimum wage. How people could live off that? There's no health care. You know, people don't even get sick days on these minimum wage jobs that they have. I'm telling you, Mama, it's still all economics for me.
This sounds like you're pushing socialism.
Whatever you want, I'm pushing economics. If we have what we have...
No, you're pushing socialism.
If we have what we have, I think that we will be able to do better and maybe even speak better because it all boils down to, you know, being open to other things, being exposed to other things, being exposed to other ways to communicate. And if, you know, if we are able to be in the classrooms and be able to substitute this nigger stuff from our language, then we'll be able to maybe to communicate a little bit better. But if we ain't being exposed to anything else, that's all we know. That's what we know.
One of the things we have to do is we need to stop with this, you sound white or you sound educated. Crap in the black community, meaning that if you get an education, you are looked down upon in the black community in America. I don't know about the Caribbean. Okay, but that's the problem here in America.
Well, what I do know about New York is this. If you're black, you're fucking black. Excuse my language. Pardon my friend. You're black. Cops stop you, you're black. They ain't stopping you because you're educated or not. Understand? They ain't stop you because you got a PhD or no degree or whatever. And they're going to beat you up. They're going to do whatever they can if they could get away with it because you're black, driving while black, just being black. I've been on the walls. I've been searched for no reason. I've been detained
because
for no reason.
Because, unfortunately, there is a high crime rate among the black community. You know, we have to take, I don't know.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Now, I just want to ask a question to Miranda. I want to ask you a question. Do you fault the product or do you fault the producer?
For what?
For whatever. I mean, like, for instance, I'll give you an example since we're talking about the black community. Would you get mad at the person, like, let's say a person put a hit out on your life, and they said they put a contract on your life, and they said, I want this person killed or wiped off the face of the planet. And now a person who wants money takes that contract, says, I'm going to go kill this person for money. Now, who would you be mad at more? Would you be mad at the person who was taking out the killing, or would you be mad at the person who was actually initiating the hit?
Both.
But you'd be equally mad at the person who would wants you dead, paid for your murder, paid for the ending of your life, as you would the person who was hungry or whatever he was to take up the contract or whatever.
They're both guilty. What's the difference?
I understand they're both guilty, but I'm asking you, which one do you think has more accountability?
The one who actually pulled the trigger has more accountability.
I'm agreeing with you in a sense that I think they're both equally wrong, to be honest with you, because you know what, the man that don't have to take that job. But if he don't
right.
take the job, somebody else probably will. But he don't have to take the job, he could pass on that job. Right?
I see the point that Victor is trying to
yeah.
make though. The point is basically that if for example somebody puts crack in the community and they put it out there, people are taking drugs, and they put a specific drug that affects our brain more than anybody else in any other culture. It's like
mm-hmm.
we get hooked on the crack quicker than any other drug. And it's,
yep.
it's like it was designed just for us. The point of the matter is people always meddle with drugs. It doesn't matter, any type of drug. But it's just that this drug was particularly put in the black community to raise funds. Whether it was for
mm-hmm.
the Nicaragua arms or to feed the rebels, give the rebels more guns or whatever, they did it in the black community on purpose. And this is admitted. This is why crack is the biggest problem in the black community up to this day. They did it.
It's just another form of genocide,
that.
Man. It's another form
yeah,
of genocide.
Yeah, they produced that. But what Miranda is now saying is that each person individually had the choice not
See?
To take crack.
Yeah,
but,
they're still accountable for the action.
Yeah, no disagreement
of
there.
Course.
But no,
I'm
but
all,
no disagreement
I'm all for that.
There.
But
yeah, that's
we
no,
are
this,
what
this.
40 years later now into the crack epidemic, or 30 years later, and it's too late to say individual right now because everybody who took crack, they changed 20 people. So if a million people
exactly.
took crack, it affected 20 million people's lives. So this
and they
is
knew
what
this
the,
when they
the
did.
FBI. Exactly, this is what the FBI did instead of what. J. Edgar did as far as stopping the rise of the Black Messiah, their program was to basically flood the community with drugs. Now,
yeah.
everybody I know who is black have some family member that's on drugs. Every person I know, some family member is on drugs.
Wow.
Again,
everybody.
That was their choice. It was their choice to do it.
Yeah, you know what? People do have choice, but there's also a product of your environment. You know, you're gonna dwindle candy in front of a baby and then think the baby is not gonna eat it. I don't understand it. You know, we
That's
are a product
yesterday.
Of what. You know, we are a product of our environment. Understand?
It's called supply and demand. Okay, they would not be supplying it if there wasn't a demand for it.
Because they create. Do you know economics? You could create a demand for something. That's
yeah.
exactly what they did. They created a demand for that by bringing it into the community.
You're missing my point.
I'm sorry.
They
can
would
you
have no power over you if you refused it. None whatsoever. Do you not see my point?
Your
if
point
black
is,
people, if they brought the drugs and just set them down in the middle of the street and say black people have at it. At that point, it is your choice.
You see, the thing about that, right? You're right as far as, you know, saying that if it's in front of you, you don't have to take it. But here's the problem. You come into the community, people don't have no jobs, people don't have anything to do, people are, their existence seems null. What do? They smoke weed, they do their crack, they sniff coke. Just try to wash away their pain. And that's when
want to escape through drugs.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people do it through alcohol. They try to wash away or disguise their pain. Huh?
I never did that.
But maybe you were from a well-to-do, affluent family where you didn't have to subscribe to that, Ma.
No.
Understand? Or maybe you are one of the few, selected few, such as myself, who says, you know what, I'm not going to turn to that. But there are people that, you know what, I don't see any way out, and I might as well just do this, that, and the third. And then there are the guys that I don't have an education, and I see drugs as my way out, so I'm going to sell it. Understand?
I can understand that.
I don't know. It's all, for me, you know, like I said, it's all based on economics. I don't know. Could be something else, but that's for what I see from coming from the inner city, from growing up, from seeing the things that I do, from walking through crack-infested neighborhood, you know, young juvenile walking to high school, and all I see is crack vials on the floor. That's all I see. That's my environment. You know, sooner or later, the person that walks by that every day is going to maybe want to try that.
Yeah.
And then they get hooked because you're a product of your environment. You're a product of what you see. Your mom and your daddy smoke crack, you're going to end up smoking crack. It's just the way it is.
And, see, that's what they produced, though. When they brought crack into the hood, you know, they knew what they were doing. It was a calculated strategy, man, that everybody in the government who was behind this knew what they were doing before they did it. And they knew that it was going to create these kind of circumstances, you know, like in our hood, out there in Houston, Texas, man. You know, we are basically the offspring of a screwed up generation, man. I mean, it's hard to find a black community, a black family home that isn't some way either affiliated with drugs or on drugs. It's hard to find that. And so, you know, when you got these kids growing up, we only mimic what we see. You know, I know we got choice, but I mean, what choice are you providing us when the only thing we ever see in life is drugs, money, exchange because of drugs, people getting shot down because of drugs? This is all we ever know. I mean, this is the
that's
only thing
right.
we
that's
really
what
know.
That's what you're saying. The only thing you ever see. Because what do we see with this hip-hop culture? All the negative stuff. We're not seeing positive stuff.
It depends on who you listen to and who you watch.
Yeah,
We're not seeing people from the ghetto who has overcome that.
It depends on who you watch and who you listen to.
Right.
When you talk about Lil Wayne and you talk about the babies and all of them who are flashy and doing all of this, but I don't hear nobody talking about Professor X, the Big Daddy Kane, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, Common. I don't hear people talking about those people.
Hey, I don't know most of those people.
I don't listen to them. So this is what I'm saying. But if I say Lil Wayne, you know Lil Wayne.
Yes.
This is the problem, though. Because when we talk about if we want to expose our people to positiveness and positive rap and hip-hop and all of that, most of our generation, not my generation, generation behind me, don't know anything about these people. They don't know anything positive. The only thing they see is the flashy, the Tom Ford and the jewels and all of that. That's all they know. But they don't know anything about the hip, the hop, the, you know what I'm saying? The Cool Herb, the Jam Master Flash, and all of that. They don't know anything about that.
Yes,
I like
the rappers from the 80s. I grew up with those rappers. And they were clean and good and fun.
So now, you know, now what we're breeding now, these new generation or these new youth, and they're listening to these people, and they're thinking it's okay to do certain things that you see these people doing. You know, Lil Wayne, he's OD, you know, on NyQuil, things of that nature. So the next youth is going to try to be OD on NyQuil. Maybe if I drink NyQuil, I'll sound like Lil Wayne, things of that nature. And they mimic what they see. They mimic what's going on, you know. And this is what we're trying to say. I'm trying to say you become a product of your environment, a product of society, product of what's happening right now. That's what's going to happen to this generation.
Let me ask you a question, guys. When y'all are listening to these rappers, the new ones today, with their vile language and loose morality that they're singing about, do y'all allow your little children to sit there and also listen to those lyrics that you're listening to?
Of course not. We don't. No.
Hell no.
No.
Hell no. I don't even listen to that type of stuff, really.
Plenty of women who in their cars are men blasting that god-awful music while their children are sitting there listening to it.
Well, they need some parenting classes themselves, to be honest with you. Because, you know, you don't expose your kids to those type of things if you don't want them to be like that. Or maybe they want their kids to be like that, that's why they blast the music. Who knows what's going on circulating in someone else's mind? You know what I'm saying? It's absurd to think about you blasting that type of music in front of your five-year-old.
I mean, that's one of my pet peeves. I hate to see that. People allowing their children, little children, to listen to that. And the children are in the back seat singing along to those, just nasty lyrics.
And they think it's cute.
Like, why?
And they think
why
it's cute.
Why do you allow your children?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
Well, all I could say is they could definitely benefit from some parenting class and maybe look at the bigger picture rather than trying to satisfy their own needs at the same time to hear a song. They could hold off when the kid is not in the car. They could put it on pause, take the CD out, whatever. You know, but it all boils down to that individual selfishness and not thinking about the bigger picture, because your kid is going to mimic that.
Right.
He's gonna mimic what he hears, what he sees them rappers do, and he's gonna want to do that, and he's gonna think it's okay.
I don't understand what's wrong with these black churches. They seem to be failing the black community because they're not teaching morality.
You know what? Morality does not draw an audience. This is why all the mega preachers are successful. The guy on TV that's the most successful guy right now, his father was a doomsday preacher, and he never had the audience as his son right now. His son is, what's this guy on TV right now, the Caucasian guy? His name slipped me right now, but he's a mega preacher, like T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if you're talking about Joel Osteen.
He's brilliant.
He's from Houston,
he's
Texas.
Very uplifting.
Yeah,
he makes you feel good. That's what he is about. He's all about making you feel good. And that's what pulls a crowd. But the minute he ever says, they asked him the other day on TV, do you think somebody who is homosexual will go to hell? Or do you think homosexuality is wrong? He's like, that's not the issue. He just switches the conversation to something else and just make you start feeling good about something else. He never answers the question. He is brilliant.
Yes, he is, and how he delivers his speeches, you know, how he talks and stuff like that. I mean, that's what I'm writing about too. Is I was fascinated by this, the same guy you're talking about, Joel Osteen. I was fascinated by another preacher I seen out there down south. You know, I remember one time and they was in preaching to us a sermon of all of us, and I'm the only person I think that was really just watching what was going on. I was just paying attention to every little detail. This man got up there and said, "I want y'all all to gather together and pray with me, right? And I want you to say, Jesus went to hell and for 3 days died for my sins, and took the keys." I was like, "Wait a minute, hold up." In my mind, I'm saying, like, stop. Jesus, the person you're talking about, that did all these good things, went to hell. He went to hell for 3 days. I'm doomed in my mind. So, like, in my head, it made everybody agree with him. It made everybody say, oh, they clapped their hands, and they were like, yes, praise God and all this stuff like that, because it sounded good. It sounded good. You know, the way he said it sounded great. You know, just like when you hear Lil Wayne or somebody like that talk on the ring, you know what I mean? I think the stuff he raps about is horrible. But he's mastered his delivery in such a way that it sounds decent now. It sounds good, you know, to people and viewers and listeners and stuff like that, you know. I don't like him as an artist. My favorite artist right now is Talib Kweli, Mos Def, maybe Immortal Technique or somebody like that. But I don't really vibe with that mainstream stuff no more. But, again, it's not what you say a lot of times. It's how you say it. And that's what we're captivated by. You know, we get captivated by these people that come up there and they rap about fast cars and flashy clothes and stuff like this, because a lot of us in the hood, we never grew up with any of that stuff. We want to get it. We want to know what it's like.
It's a marketing tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool to captivate the audience.
We'll be the main buyers of this stuff, too. The clothing line that we really can't afford, we'll buy it. We'll buy them $300 jeans that we can't afford, $400 jeans we can't afford.
I'll tell you a story. I remember one time when Carl Kanai came out, I couldn't even afford the suit. Let me tell you, I paid $100 for the shorts, and I had to wait like 3 weeks later before I buy the top for another $100 just so I could look fly. Just to say I got some Carl Kanai joint on. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But you know, I could have went to the Gap and Old Navy and have quadrupled the amount of clothes. But I didn't want to look like no Gap kid, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, that's what's up right now, but I didn't want it to look like that. I wanted to do the urban thing, and I know it was way beyond my reach, so I had to wait like 4 weeks before I get a short set. That's crazy.
Mm.
You know, but I did save for it, but just imagine if we save for other things, what we potentially could do with our dollars and things
like
that. And these are the things that we got to teach our kids. We got to teach the youth. Like, listen, man, you got to know the value of a dollar. It don't just come and go like that. People got to work. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into getting that money to keep a roof over your head, to keep a car running, things of that nature. You know?
Ivory.
You trying to get Ivory?
Ivory. I did put
Miranda, you still there?
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
I just did.
Okay.
You know, listen,
me personally, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, Mom. You know, because you're here with us, and you're putting forth your thoughts and so forth, and I respect your thoughts. I respect where you're coming from.
Well, I want to help uplift my people, not put them down.
Yeah. I definitely got to give you that.
But I don't want them making excuses.
Miranda, we have to... I agree with you 100% as far as the whole excuses thing. But you have to remember, listen, you see, as a social worker, when we go in people's homes and see how they live, you're like, how do these people survive daily? How do they work? There's no child care. How do they get an education? They had a kid out of wedlock at an early age, more than one. How did they make it? And you have women who have made it, but not everybody has made it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has that luck. Ivory, you're punched in, by the way, Ivory. And we cannot judge everybody based on a few. I cannot say that. How come black folks didn't make it? I grew up with a spoon in my mouth. I can't talk about ghetto people. That's how I grew up. I can't talk about how they grew up and how come I made it and they didn't. How come I got an education and they didn't? I didn't live their life. So when we can't blame the hood on everything, but out of the ghetto, it's really, really tough. One parent on crack, one parent not on crack. Hold on, Miranda. One parent work, one don't work. One is abusive, one's not abusive.
Yeah.
The kid's getting abused. He's witnessing all of this. He goes to school. His head is all messed up. There's a lot of factors. You know, it's good to say, yes, they need to stand up and be great individuals and do it for themselves. But it's not that easy. I want the best thing for our people, too. Yes, I do. This is why I even started the radio, this program. But the point of the matter is they can't do it just automatically. It's not a magic wand. You got white folks out there that are living poor, too. It's not just black folks. The majority of folks on welfare are white. But you don't see it in the media. All you see is black folks. Go ahead, Miranda.
Yes, I was going to say. I was born in a shotgun house in Alabama. Okay? I was raised poor.
Hold on, whose phone is that?
So, I, you know.
Ivory.
I'm here.
So, is that your phone making all that noise?
That is not my phone.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead, Miranda.
Go ahead, Miranda, before they cut you off.
Oh, I thought he was making a drink, shaking up the mic.
No, he was rolling up something. he was Miranda, he was doing this.
Every morning I roll down my window.
You're funny,
start man. On that endo.
All right, you stop right there. Anyway, go ahead, guys. Listen,
okay.
Before we even talk about anything else, I have Victor on the phone, and I got Ivory. We had a conversation 3 nights ago about Paul. I don't know if you guys want to talk about Paul for 10 minutes and get, you know, just talk about Paul and
He wasn't on here the day before yesterday. Yesterday when we talked about that, huh?
Man, you kind of whack now, G. How you going to cut off Miranda like that? She didn't even finish her thought, man.
Go ahead, Miranda.
Come on, man.
Go ahead, Miranda.
No,
oh, yes. Excuse us. Excuse everybody.
I'd rather talk about Paul.
I'd rather talk about Paul. I know what she wants. She ready to get on Paul, too.
I'm talking about Peter and Paul.
But ladies and gentlemen out there, listen, man, we're on every day between 6 to 8. I think I'm just going to do Monday to Friday, Ivory. This 7 days a week thing is not too kosher right now, but we'll talk about it later. You know, Monday to Friday sounds better. But let's talk about Paul for a minute. The issue with Paul is I think Victor had said that Paul was kind of like a phony baloney, and Moody, Ivory, was saying that he could defend Paul. All right, so who wants to go first?
That doesn't matter. Go ahead, pull the card. I got a joker or ace. What do you got?
Say what?
I have a joker or an ace. What do you have in your hand?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I have in my hand, but I mean, most of the stuff I would go even to the Bible itself, but I don't have the Bible with me right now, and that's the problem right now. I'm not in the room right now. I'm isolated in the room by myself. So I'll let you go. I'll let you go by yourself right now. See what you got to offer right now, because I want to hear it.
All right,
okay,
so
well,
you know what? Nah, let's go ahead, Ivory.
Go ahead, Garfield. Go ahead.
No, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say about this. You guys go ahead.
Well, what? First of all, I want to know, are we saying that he's a pop person? Well, because I remember Victor said that he's a Muslim. So I want to know.
I got you. My bad. Go ahead.
Garfield, here you go now. All right.
I'm muting my mic right now. I'm muting my mic.
I appreciate everyone. So, what is the difference between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Paul, the Apostle Paul?
Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't know you were going to ask me a question like that. There's a really huge difference between them two, man. Really, really huge difference. First off, Prophet Muhammad, actually, when he spoke everything he would say Bismillah, meaning in the name of God. Everything he said was in the name of God. What Prophet Muhammad did, his life is exemplary. The way he lived his life as an exemplary figure throughout history. It wasn't just that he lived his life, but it was so thoroughly documented. I believe the brother talked about this yesterday, day before yesterday, when he said that Paul's life isn't really well documented by any other outside sources, no first century, second century sources, to even really prove that he actually really existed or not. But I mean, Muhammad is one of the most thoroughly written about characters in history that I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Even though they're hearsay accounts, they're still...
Go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead. I don't want to talk too long.
So, the book that we say, when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we talk to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we basically, because you're Muslim, so I say the name, peace be upon him, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I know every,
right,
I know
right.
Fully, so I speak it. But the Quran is the word of God, correct?
I mean, I believe it to be. I can't prove it, but I believe it to be. Yes, I believe it to be.
Do you know that the Quran mentions Muhammad one time or two times?
Yeah, I do.
That's it. It has no history of him, of his life. We know nothing of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know nothing about him. So everything that you believe that you know about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the same thing that people did with Paul. They wrote about him in the Hadiths. So
who wrote about Paul, though?
I don't know who wrote about him. Like, I don't know who wrote about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what I'm saying is, the same way you challenge and you say Paul is not real, the information that you have on Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's the same way that we got our information from Paul, from another source of people, and it's whether you believe it or you don't believe it, because according to, like, the Sunnis and the Shiites, a lot of them don't believe in the Hadith, which is the story, or you know, those who talk about Muhammad. They say these are people that made up stuff, that made up stories. They don't know what to believe or not to believe, so they stay with the Quran, okay? So if you're going to talk about the Quran or Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to stay with the Quran, and if you stay with the Quran, you know nothing about Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay.
Can I interject right there? Because the Quran is not focused on any one particular man. The Quran is about what God says and what God, the example given to people through different types of people. It's not necessarily even about Muhammad. Muhammad was just a person that was used as a vessel to transliterate the message to us. So, yeah,
exactly.
Go ahead on, brother.
But you cannot be a Muslim if you do not believe in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because
that's not true.
Can I interject for a second?
Yes.
All right. Your point, Ivory, is basically that whatever we put on Paul, we have to use the same measuring stick to judge for other religions.
I agree
with you 1,000%. Now, on faith, Paul is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. On faith. But my issue with Paul, and I have to say this. I said it last night. He said a certain thing happened when the famine. When the famine happened in the, what do you call it? Let me find this article. I gotta find this article. I read it to you guys real quick. Cause we have five. What do we have? We have 5 minutes left. 6 minutes. 7 minutes left. I have to say this to you guys. Paul is, to me, the biggest sham. That's why I ask Christians all the time: can you believe in Jesus without Paul? I don't think you need Paul. I don't think you need Paul to be a Christian. In my opinion, you don't need him. But
you don't need him.
Like,
I agree.
You say you need him?
You don't need him.
Okay. All right.
Well,
let me see real quickly here. All right. You guys continue talking. Go ahead, man. Go ahead and keep talking.
All right, go ahead. So, what I was saying on that note was that if you're going to discredit this man by the measuring stick that you're using, you know, to discredit this man, then your prophet is also discredited by long shot. You know, what I try to tell people basically is that if you want to discredit somebody, discredit them on what you have researched, not what people tell you. Because if I was to listen to what people are talking about the prophet, he would be discredited if I use your measuring stick. I used to manage to keep this fair because, you know what, the whole thing is fake. You believe that that man did that. And now you got people out there saying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not exist. You know, they can't find his grave. So they got all this crap going around. So when people are discrediting Paul, the only thing that they can discredit Paul on, you know, is basically that he converted over. I'm not going to say Christian because he did not convert to Christianity. Christianity is just false. But he converted on believing on the Christ. Okay, but go ahead, brother. You can go. I don't want to get into it.
Let me interject real quick, because see the thing you're saying is that I'm using the same measuring stick with Muhammad. We have to use the same measuring stick with Muhammad as I'm using with Paul, and I actually am. You see, the thing is, I have to go based on not just accountability here, but actually people who were there, not just there and said hearsay accounts about him, but why nobody? I want to understand why who is this figure known as Paul in the New Testament? Why does he constantly contradict himself? He admits openly to lying in the New Testament. Hold up, wait a minute. He admits openly to lying in the New Testament. That's I can bring the verse, a couple of them actually. I just got to go find my Bible where that marks that. One I know in specific right now is Romans 3 verse 7. That's when I know it's specific right now. He admitted to lying in Romans 3 verse 7 now. And then to on another note, the hadith, when you talk
hold
about
on, hold on guys,
say,
hold on guys, hold on guys. Hold on 1 second. No. Caller, you want to be live or you just want to listen?
No. Truck. Right now I just want to listen.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, okay.
But no, what I was saying is that Paul is actually, you know, according to history outside of the Bible itself, is actually a very mysterious figure. Now I can go pull up a lot of different sources, man, to prove that, you know, the Arabs existed and Islam existed and that Muhammad had to have existed, according, because Muhammad is the one that ushered in the new form of what we know as Islam. I can prove up various sources, whether they be Chinese, whether they be in Saudi Arabia. I can pull up various sources. They all are based on hysiography. But the problem with this, dealing with Paul, is we don't have much evidence outside of the biblical accounts for Paul, and that's the main problem. The brother pointed that out yesterday. So,
real quick, just I gotta take the Ivory.
Yes, I'm here. Who is that? You with all that noise?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. We could always continue talking after the show is over, but the people who are on the internet are about to cut off. So let me just summarize what went on today. We basically talked about relationships. We talked about, and whoever is on hold and whoever is listening on the phone line, or if you want to continue to listen to this conversation that we're having now, you could call in and you could continue after the time slot, the two-hour time slot, and you could still listen to us talk. So the number is 347-826-9457. That's 347-826-9457. Ivory, give your website a plug real quick before we get off the air.
Oh, that would be keepshopping.zunrise.com. That's TheTapping .zunrize.com. Keepshopping.zunrise.com.
Yes, so ladies and gentlemen, if you definitely want to do shopping, Amazon.com and eBay, the best spot to go is to my brother's page, which is cheapshopping.zunrise.com. And if you're out there, you're trying to do like what Miranda is telling everybody to do, to uplift themselves, listen, man, you need to clean up your credit first. Clean your credit, and if you are, give me a call at 1-888-234-8585. That's 888-234-8585. That's 888-234-8585. And that number, you call, you get the special, tell them you always listen to the program, and you get your credit fixed. So let's get back to, let me just summarize what we did today on the show. We basically talked about a couple of issues. So before we get off the air, we basically talked about, one of the first things was we talked about the N-word. We talked about using it in an endearing manner. We talked about, is it proper to use? We also talked about natural or weaved hair, which way is it to go? We talked about if your spouse cheated, how would you handle it? And we talked about, what else did we talk about? And now we're talking about the whole thing about Paul. You know, if Paul is a true disciple or a true apostle, and we're going to get into this right now. Let's give it 10 seconds and we get off the air, and we get right back to it. Let's just take a 15-second break, and we get right back to the conversation.
Oh. Oh. Check it out.
Yeah.
I just called into a radio show.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're still here. All right, so this is what we're going to do now. Ivory, you said you wanted to... You guys were talking about Paul and Prophet Muhammad, and, you know, let's go back and forth now. So before we do that, Miranda, do you have anything to add to the conversation?
No, I got to go. But I actually like the topic, but I have to go. So maybe y'all can bring it back up again.
All right, no problem. Take care, man. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
One love. All right, go ahead. So Ivory, go ahead, man.
All right, so first of all, I would like to hear that contradiction that he said. As a matter of fact, Marcus, since you have the Bible, because you are a pastor in disguise, go ahead and look up this passage that he gives us on the contradiction of Paul. He said, what it was, Romans 3:7? He said something 3:7?
3:7. Chapter 3, verse 7.
Romans? Was it Romans?
Chapter 3, verse 7. Yes, it is, sir.
All right. Garfield, could you get that Romans 3:7, please? Yeah.
Actually, two.
Garfield, right here? Garfield. Hello? Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I don't know if he left or not.
I'm here. I muted my phone. I'm here. I'm getting it for
you. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Go in.
You said Romans, right?
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Boy, I'm going to hell. I don't remember where Romans is. I'm going to hell.
Are you serious?
I'm just kidding, guys. Stop. Romans 3:7. Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner?
Does that sound like he's contradicting himself and calling himself a liar?
Listen, that's what translation do you have, Garfield?
This is Bible study.
It does.
No, man, get that King James Version. You want it real clear.
The King James Version. I'm going to quote the King James Version for you right now.
Get the King James Version.
What he says in Romans chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, then why am I also..."
Yeah. That's what it says. Yeah.
Okay.
"For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?"
Because you lied. That's the answer to his rhetorical question, because he lied.
Now, wait. What he's saying is, if you read up before that, they're calling him a liar. He's saying, they call me a liar. Well, he's saying, if I am lying, then why does the truth of God, why does it expound? Listen to what he said. Read the other verses. That's kids play right there. So use that one. You know what I mean? It's like, he's telling you right there, if people are calling him a liar, calling him false, they say,
then why would you even associate yourself with being a liar, though? Why would you even say that? Why would he say something else? I'm not a liar. Why wouldn't he prove his case of why he's not a liar?
Why didn't Jesus say I'm the king of the Jews? Why didn't he say I'm the son of God? And he knew it.
I don't believe that Jesus existed. Not that Jesus anyway. Not the one in the Bible. The one that's talked of in the Quran. Yes, I believe that one existed. But I don't believe the one talked of in the Bible. I believe the one in the Bible is a compilation of several historical figures, being Buddha, Krishna, Osiris, etc. But I don't believe that one ever existed.
Okay, however you want to do it, however you want to say it. But he's saying right there, he's like, okay, if I'm lying, he's telling you right now. If I'm lying, if he tells you, if you're saying I'm lying, if I'm a liar, then why is it found he through my lie? You still say it's just, come on, give me
and
that
he
one.
Said,
that's
why
that.
Yet am I also judged as a sinner? He also says that. Why am I also judged as a sinner? The point is, you'd be judged as a sinner based on what you do, and if you lie, you are a sinner. It's just that simple.
Okay.
And another thing I want to expound on, Paul, because we ain't even going to just talk about the various contradictions, because I got a list of these. I'm talking about like a list. I can't get to it right now. Because I got a list of contradictions of Paul. Not even just. And I'm gonna give you a real. I know Garfield can really relate to this one. Well, Paul is always talking about I and me. He uses those words over and over again in the New Testament when he's writing about for his own writings.
when he writes, it's always saying something about his perception or his thinking. He's not talking about Jesus or Jesus the way Jesus sees things, not at all. No, well, the biblical Jesus, I should say, right? Paul actually speaks of one verse. He's always talking about you are healed through Christ. Through Christ Jesus, you are healed. Jesus in the Bible never taught this. The Bible, biblical Jesus, never taught this stuff. He never taught this stuff. Jesus always said, by your faith, you were healed. He never said by his faith or faith in him. He said by your faith. It's like saying self-confidence. Paul did not understand the teachings of that man because Paul was never around. Paul said he had some spooky vision about Jesus. He's the only person.
Right there. Right there. You said Paul was never around. Paul had a spooky vision. Muhammad came 600 years after the real Jesus. What do he know about Jesus? He said he got a spooky vision from Gabriel the angel. What is the difference?
And who said anything about spooky?
What did you get
spooky vision from Muhammad from? I'm not saying Muhammad had a spooky vision because in my understanding, and I study the scriptures, angels have always came in the form or likeness of men. So there was no spooky vision. That's not a spooky vision. That's actually a physical appearance.
What I'm saying is, how are you believing everything that you heard about Muhammad and his vision when he was not there with Christ, but you say you believe in the Jesus of the Quran, and he was not with Jesus, but all of a sudden you believe what he says about him,
because
but
it's
you
more
can't
practical.
Believe what Paul said about
him. I'm going to tell you why, because it's more practical. It's very, very, a lot more practical than that, which the biblical depiction of him. I'm not going to believe a person could literally walk on water during that period of time. I'm sorry, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe a person is going to spit on a piece of clay and put it on somebody who's literally blind and make a person see again. I can't believe that. I'm sorry. That just doesn't make any sense.
It just goes back to what you believe. That's all it goes to right there. You either believe
it
or not.
It does. It has to do with belief.
You just believe what you believe and what you don't believe. You better believe that man who 600 years after claims to know something about something, but a man that, well, hey, it's cool. I understand what you're saying. You just rather believe in that than others. That's like if I see Buddha, I can choose Buddha because that's just what I want to believe. So it does.
It has to do with belief, what you choose to believe in. But I'm also say this right here: the stories and the narrations, the pictures in the Quran, I can break those down to you. Now, some of the ones that you can appreciate the Arabic too. You understand the Arabic. I'm not a scholar in Arabic. I won't even say I'm fluent in Arabic, but I can read Arabic. You understand what I'm saying? So I understand what I'm reading when I read it, and I know how to refer that reading to a lexical diagram or something like that, like Lange Lexicon, Lisan al-Arab, or whatever lexicon you want to go back to. You know, and I know how to interpret that based on a dictionary. But I'm not adding an interpretation that is not there. See, that's the thing with Paul right there. His writings and everything about him came years after Paul supposedly even existed. I mean, it's not something that was documented. I mean, God knows. I mean, what was it, the second century, if I'm not mistaken, almost, when they actually really started compiling the New Testament? I don't want to be off here, but, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it was sometime around that time. And Muhammad's writings, you know, it's not just that he was there, you know, whatever. Several hundreds of people spoke of the same man. They wrote about the same man. They wrote about the same man. So I'm not going to believe several hundred people would just make up a figure and believe he wasn't. I don't know nobody that really writes about Paul other than Paul. I don't know anybody that really writes about Paul other than Paul. I don't know anybody, you know, unless they come like in the 19th century, 20th century, talking about what they understand of Paul. I don't know anybody that really.
Who was there with Muhammad when he got the vision from the angel?
Nobody. I don't know that happened. I don't know that happened like they said it happened either. I'm not here to dispute that. My belief is in the Quran wholeheartedly and not Muhammad. I don't believe in Muhammad as a person, as a man. I believe in God because that's what he told me to do. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have a damn thing to do, excuse my French, but it doesn't have a damn thing to do with Paul or Muhammad. For me, it's about the person that we were supposed to follow as a result of these two supposedly historical figures. Whether or not they existed or not, to me, is irrelevant. You know, I heard you say earlier, and I wanted to correct you on that because you said you have to say Muhammad's name just to say the Shahada. That is completely incorrect. That is completely incorrect. I mean, that's traditional Sunni Muslim teaching, but that is completely incorrect and fabricated. In the Quran, the Shahada is actually mentioned in the Quran, and it goes as follows. This is, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa dahu la sharika la. That is the Shahada in the Quran. That is not, that there's nowhere, the Hadith came later, hearsay, 2060, 200 years after Muhammad. The
okay,
Shahada
so,
is actually mentioned in the Quran. That's we okay, believe
so,
in no God but God, and that's it.
So if the Hadith came 200 years after the Quran, and all you know about Muhammad is in the Shahada, I mean the Hadith, why? What are you believing then?
Not believing the Quran.
But I'm saying you know nothing about the Quran. You know nothing about it. Who? You? Okay, you said Muhammad wrote it. Okay. You have to know something about the man that's writing his book in order to know if that book is from God or not. You just can't tell it, oh, that's the God book. What is this? What do you know about this man?
I don't
you know
really know. No, you don't really have to do that because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something really, really, really profound that the Quran has and no other book in the world. I've not read a religious text in the world has. It has something that aligns with science. It has things that align with science. It speaks of the embryo, being in the beginning stages of a very embryo. This is something that I couldn't find a real rational reason in my head to believe that a man 1,400 years ago could have come upon knowledge like this. No way in hell, because they didn't have microscopes back then. There's no way I could.
Before you go into science, I'll just tell you, just don't go there right now. Okay, go research a little bit more. All right, because this is what me and Garfield do all day in the debate room. You don't want to touch the science part of the Quran right now. You don't know what you know, think you know about it. So study that part first before you say that's the infallible
truth.
Study
the Arabic a little bit more before you say that. I'm going to tell you something. Study the Arabic a little bit deeper before you say that, because when you say science in the Quran, I know some of the things they'll bring up. I can give you a list of several things. You know, one of them being that Jesus spoke bird. Life into a bird, a clay bird, and it came into existence. I can break that verse down to you if I really, really wanted to, but that's not the topic of the discussion. Discussion right now is based primarily on why would I follow Muhammad versus Paul? And it's a very easy argument, a very easy debate to win, because Paul may have not even ever existed, because there's not enough information to prove that he did.
Okay, now I need the information. What did you say? I need the information that you said that Muhammad did exist, when you have nothing on him.
We do. People wrote about it. People not like, again. I just elaborated that for you. That people don't write. Numerous people, different people from different. I'm talking about. I can go to, like I said, Chinese sources talking about Arabs bringing Islam in there. So we know Islam had to be in existence.
Hold on one second. Let me play referee here. All right. Now, the big part in this conversation is basically this. Victor is saying that Paul may have not existed, right?
Uh-huh.
Ivory is saying that we got to use the same standards that we use to say if Paul didn't exist. Now, Ivory, he makes a good point that a bunch of folks wrote about Paul. Now, in Christian history, if we're going to use the same standard, he said a bunch of people wrote about Muhammad, right? Who wrote about Paul outside of the Bible?
What I'm saying is, who wrote about Muhammad? What he said was, you can get Chinese writings that Islam came in, but who wrote about Muhammad? Not Islam. Who wrote about Muhammad?
There's several narrations that depict Muhammad. You know, whether you want to go to Sahih Bukhari Hadith or whatever, and I don't really take those Hadith as being credible. You know, because there's certain variations, and I'll explain to you why I don't accept them necessarily as credible. It's simply because they try to whitewash Muhammad. They try to turn Muhammad into a white man, and they say some very sick things about him. You know, even him marrying Aisha at 6 years old, which is a freaking disgust. It's not. That was never a Nubian practice. That was never something. I believe he was a black man. And that's another thing.
Okay.
And there were various people who wrote about him. There are various people, and not from various different sources who wrote about him. Who wrote about Paul?
Okay. Well, I'm saying I can accept. I need to research about Paul, but I'm saying I can accept the fact that no one else wrote about him outside of that book. Now I want you to give me someone who wrote about the other one.
Sahih Bukhari Hadith. You can go to Sahih Muslim. You can go to whichever Hadith collection you want to.
Listen, they wrote about him. Listen. We just established that the Hadith, you just said it was not credible. We just said that the Hadith is not credible.
Because
I said,
things about him,
listen, take my words in context of what I said. I didn't say they were not credible at all. I said I don't necessarily consider them relevant or credible to me. It's my perception of how I look at them. The thing is, my problem with the Hadith is not the information that talk about the characters in there. It is the whitewashing or the Europeanization or the Aryanization of the historical figures that are in there. That's my biggest problem with the Hadith. Other than that, I don't have a problem. But, you know, to sit up there and pretend like they're more than hearsay, I'm not going to do that with you. I'm not going to play the game of saying that. But the problem is, when we bring this point, I'm going to beat this point into the bulletin board right here and stamp it broadly so everyone can see this, is where did the hearsay come from? They don't make up hearsay about a man that didn't exist. They don't have no hearsay on Paul is what I'm saying. Where is the hearsay on Paul? Where is it at?
We can't
hear you good, Papa.
I'm sorry.
Still breaking up, brother.
You had a bad spot, bro. Can't hear you at all. Can't hear you, Papa. Can't hear you.
Lord, this is just actually getting
Ivory.
Good too.
Ivory, you know what? Let's pick this up tomorrow, man. Can't hardly hear you. I hear you better now.
You're starting to break up again.
Well, I don't know where you're at. You're breaking up, Papa.
You must be on the cell phone.
Hello?
Yes, no, his signal is like way out there. I can't even hear him right now.
Hello?
Ivory, we'll pick this up tomorrow, Ivory.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll start tomorrow. I'll be more ready tomorrow because you weren't here yesterday or the day before yesterday. We were talking about this, so we'll pick it up tomorrow.
All right, talk to you guys later. Thanks, guys.
All right, yeah, you're welcome.
All right,
peace.
Cool. Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, man.